Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1998. The Lesson of Amy Beale.
Hello. Some of my listeners have told me that I talk too much about the Jews. They've told me that I should focus more on America's race problem, that I should talk more about how black crime and black welfare and black, may I call it, culture are degrading our civilization. White people don't have their homes burglarized by Jews, these critics tell me. Jews don't sell heroin to our children on school playgrounds. It's the blacks and Mexicans who are the problem. And Jews don't throw their trash in their yards and get on welfare. So get off the Jews' case and tell us how we can solve the race problem before it destroys America. Now, when I hear comments like this from listeners, I feel that I have failed in my main purpose, which is to get people to understand what's happening. I try to keep my message very simple, and I try to present it as clearly as I can. But when I hear people telling me that the blacks and the Mexicans are the real problem and not the Jews, I realize that I just haven't been getting through. Of course, I understand that in some parts of the country, blacks or Mexicans are a much more immediate threat than they are where I live, and that white people who have been heavily impacted by non-whites in their schools or neighborhoods or workplaces feel so hard-pressed that they can't really worry about less visible threats. Here in the mountains of West Virginia, what little crime there is, and that's very little, is committed by my fellow whites, and it's mostly drunken driving or domestic fights. But I do sympathize with the people who live in our cities and are forced to mix with non-whites. We really need to look beyond the most immediate and visible problems, however. We need to look at what is behind these problems, at what has caused them. And when we look for the causes of problems, we can look either inside our own house or outside. That is, we can either look for weaknesses and faults in the nature of our own people and our own society, which have left us vulnerable to external enemies, or we can focus on those external enemies. And sometimes it's not an altogether clear distinction. Some of our traits are not really false in themselves, but they have nevertheless been turned against us by external enemies. For example, there's our combination of objectivity, altruism, and universalism, which has so often been used by our external enemies to manipulate us for their advantage and to our great disadvantage. Our enemies have discovered that it is very easy to make us feel sorry for them or feel guilty because they are inferior to us in some way, or to convince us that we must bend over backward to be nice to them because we owe them compensation for some past wrong we have done them. Some of us are made to feel guilty because our ancestors took North America away from the Indians, or because we brought black slaves here from Africa. This is apparently a unique racial trait we have. Indians certainly don't feel sheepish about the fact that their ancestors, whenever they managed to capture a few of ours, had the habit of torturing them to death in ways so horrible that they are almost beyond our ability to imagine. Really, torture was a habitual public recreation of the Indians long before whites arrived in the New World, and many of the tribes had permanent torture facilities set up in their villages for the specific purpose of putting prisoners to death publicly in the most painful ways possible. They found the screams of their victims amusing. I'm sure you weren't taught this in your American history course in high school, because these days it's politically incorrect. But many knowledgeable historians, President Theodore Roosevelt, for example, wrote in detail about these things. The Indians don't feel guilty or apologetic about this behavior today, but many of us feel guilty because our ancestors responded to this nasty habit of theirs by slaughtering them and taking their land. And there are those of us who believe that we shouldn't begrudge blacks their welfare payments because their ancestors worked as slaves for ours. How many blacks have you met who can look at the matter objectively and tell us how grateful they are to whites because our ancestors brought them from the African jungle to a life that was infinitely more pleasant and secure in America? I mean, they already were slaves in Africa, and working and living conditions were a great deal better under white masters in America than under black masters in Africa. As I said, we have traits which are used against us, but that doesn't mean that they are bad traits in themselves. They are a strength for us when we are left to ourselves, and they only become a weakness when we come in contact with those who use them to manipulate us. And certainly the masters of manipulation of these traits are the Jews. The best example of this is the way in which they have used their Holocaust story to keep us on the defensive while they exploit us in every way they can. Among themselves, they boast about the self-hatred they have managed to generate in the Germans just by harping on how the Germans supposedly wronged them during the Second World War. They have gotten the Germans to the point, they boast, where it is unfashionable to be patriotic or even to show any interest in German culture or German traditions. It is much more fashionable today for Germans to show interest in Zulu traditions or in Turkish art or in Chinese music or in anything Jewish than in anything German. To express affection for anything German is tantamount to shoving more Jews into the gas chambers. This artificial self-hatred, which the Jews have induced in the Germans, has had the effect of pushing the German birth rate below the replacement level. It is more fashionable for a young German couple who really follow the party line of the controlled media to adopt a Turkish baby than to have one of their own. War guilt. This was a war, remember, which began as a local conflict between Germany and Poland over historically German territory which had been taken from Germany at the end of the First World War. And it developed into a war between Germany and the Soviet Union because of Hitler's hatred for communism and his determination to break the power of communism in Europe before the Soviet Union's expansionist tendencies led to the further spread of communism. But it only became a world war which the Germans could not win because of the Jews' influence over Franklin Roosevelt in the United States and Winston Churchill in Britain and the ability of the Jews to manipulate public feelings in both countries. Certainly, Hitler did not want a war with America, and the American people didn't want a war with Germany. But surrounded by Jews the way Bill Clinton is, Franklin Roosevelt connived and finagled America into the war in Europe on the side of the Jews with the aid of Hollywood, the New York Times, and the Washington Post, of course. This was a war which the Jews had declared publicly against Germany in 1933 and had begun by organizing a worldwide economic boycott of Germany and by mobilizing Hollywood for a full-scale, non-stop vilification of everything German. Viewed from a historical perspective, it was a war between Germans and Jews, and the Jews won. The Germans lost many more of their people in this war than the Jews did. And yet today the Germans still feel guilty about their role in the war. Do you believe that the Jews feel guilty about the German losses in the war? Do you believe that they feel guilty about driving the Palestinians from Palestine, killing many of them and taking their land? You know, it's a good thing the Indians didn't have this knack for manipulating us psychologically the way the Jews do. If they did, America would still be the land of the Iroquois, the Cherokees, and the Apaches, of the Sioux, and the Comanches, and the Shawnees, and they'd still be raiding each other and torturing their prisoners to death for amusement. The point of everything I've said so far is this. The Jews are a far bigger threat to our survival as a people than are the blacks or the Mexicans or any other alien group, because the Jews not only are masters of psychological manipulation, but because they have gathered the means for manipulating us into their hands. Those aren't the only reasons, but I'll get to the others later. I said that we are lucky that the Indians weren't able to manipulate our ancestors psychologically. Really, we're even luckier that there were, for all practical purposes, no Jews in North America at that time, or they would have had us feeling guilty about fighting the Indians. The Jews waited to come until the fighting was pretty much finished, and they could concentrate on accumulating money without worrying about being scalped. The Indians and the blacks and the Mexicans still don't know how to manipulate any but the most soft-brained hymn singers among us. We are letting the Mexicans and the blacks wreck our country today, not because the blacks or the Mexicans are able to brainwash us, but because the Jews are. Mexicans are not a menace to us because they breed fast and carry switchblades. Blacks are not a menace because there are a lot of them and they have a tendency toward violence. We know how to deal with people who breed fast and carry switchblades. We know how to deal with violent blacks, no matter how many of them there are. Cleaning up America might be a bit messy, but there's absolutely no question about our ability to do it if we had the will to do it, if we hadn't been brainwashed into feeling guilty for wanting to safeguard America for future generations of our people. And hey, you know who has brainwashed us. It may seem really complicated when we look at all of the details. Brainwashing in the schools, brainwashing by the government, brainwashing statements to us by all of the most ambitious politicians and all of the most glamorous entertainers and sports stars and all of the spokesmen for the mainstream churches, brainwashing by the big advertisers who want us to buy their products, and brainwashing by all of the controlled news and entertainment media. They are virtually unanimous. More diversity is good, they all tell us. Multiracialism and multiculturalism are wonderful things. Blacks and Mexicans and Asians and Jews are all very nice people, and you mustn't resist them. You soon will be a minority in your own land, but that's as it should be. Don't resist it. Your ancestors stole this land from the Indians, and so now it is only right that it should be stolen from you. You have oppressed minorities, and so it is only fair that minorities will oppress your children and your grandchildren. Don't resist. It is un-American to resist. Just let it happen. We hear this message of surrender and death from many people, many institutions, but behind all of them stand the master manipulators, the Jews. It is a Jewish message, whether it comes to us from Bill Clinton's lips, or the lips of a Hollywood actor in a Steven Spielberg film, or directly from a column or editorial in the New York Times. And it is a lethal message. Those who absorb it are as good as dead already. Do you remember Amy Beale, the blonde American girl who went to South Africa in 1993 to help the blacks there in their fight against apartheid? She was full of this message and was just dying to do whatever she could to take power away from the awful terrible, racist white South Africans who were her kinsmen and give it to the wonderful, kind, noble, and deserving blacks. Well, blacks will be blacks. And so when a gang of them spotted her going about her do-good business in a black area, they stabbed, beat, kicked, and stoned her to death. There was still a white government in South Africa in 1993, and the killing of whites, even brainwashed do-good whites, by blacks wasn't tolerated. And so the black murderers were caught and locked up. Now, of course, there's a black government in South Africa, and so 10 days ago, the black murderers of Aimee Beale were set free again. Aimee's parents in California, who are just as much under the influence of the Jewish message as she was, greeted the release of her killers with the statement, and I quote, "We hope they will receive the support necessary to live productive lives in a nonviolent atmosphere. In fact, we hope the spirits of Aimee and of those like her will be a force in their new lives." End of quote. This was the reaction of Aimee's parents to the pardoning and release of the gang of black murderers who had danced and chanted around the body of a dying white girl as they kicked and slashed the life out of her. Were Aimee's parents concerned about the danger posed to other white women in South Africa by turning these sadistic black murderers loose? Not at all. Their only concern was for the black murderers, because they have taken to heart the message, blacks are good, whites are evil. And so, now I ask you, who is the real threat to our people? The blacks who murdered Aimee, or the people who taught her and her parents the message of self-hate, which led Aimee to go to Africa to work against her own people? Which is the real threat? Which do we need to concern ourselves with first, the blacks and the Mexicans, or the people who have taught us the same message of self-hate and racial suicide which was taught to Aimee Beale and her parents? What do you think? So now you should understand why I am much more concerned about Jews than I am about blacks and Mexicans. Eventually, we will have to deal with blacks and Mexicans, of course, and the sooner the better. But we can't hope to do that successfully when so many of our people have fallen victim to the same sort of psychological manipulation that Aimee Beale and her parents have. Bill Clinton has been running around the country giving speeches to university students and to various civic groups, and he's been preaching the same message to all of them. He's been gloating about the coming non-white majority in America, and he's been telling his audiences that we must not try to stop it. It would be un-American to try to stop it, he tells them. Don't resist. And they've been cheering him. They've been applauding this message because they've already had it preached to them in church, and they've read it in the New York Times, and they've heard it on television. Unfortunately, not all of these trendy airheads, not all of these lemmings, have had an opportunity to prove their commitment to the cause of white racial suicide the way Aimee did. But they believe it. They do believe it, because the Jews have taught them well. The Jews have manipulated them psychologically, and that is the primary threat to the continued existence of our people, beside which every other threat is insignificant. And so our task today, the task of every white man and woman who has not fallen victim to this psychological manipulation, this spiritual poison of the sort which killed Aimee Beale, is to fight the poisoners, to fight the manipulators, not to worry about black crime or Mexican fecundity. Sometimes, of course, I do speak with you about black problems or Mexican problems, but that really is only to illuminate the primary problem, which is the Jews' control of our media of news and entertainment, the media through which they inject their spiritual poison into our people. And we don't fight the poisoners by wringing our hands and moaning that it's too late, that the Jews are too powerful, that there's no way we can compete against the television networks and Hollywood and the New York Times and Bill Clinton for the hearts and minds of our people. It is late, but not yet too late. The Jews are powerful, but not so powerful that they cannot be beaten. Our people are brainwashed, but many of them can be unbrainwashed. The story of Amy Beale and her parents is enough to make some of the lemmings wake up, if we use it effectively as a lesson. Because, you know, many of the trendy idiots who cheer the message of white racial suicide do so only because they think it is not only trendy but safe. They think that they personally won't have to suffer the implications of that message the way Amy Beale did. We should be able to convince some of them that if we all continue in the direction we're headed now, there will in fact be many more Amy Beales, and they personally may be among those victims. Let's help them to understand that. What is happening to Bill Clinton now as he sinks further and further into the cesspool of his own making will wake up a few lemmings. Bill Clinton's prestige as president is tied to the Jewish message of white racial suicide. And as the DNA experts do their analysis of the semen stains on Monica Lewinsky's dress, and Clinton's prestige continues to sink, so will the appeal of the message to the lemmings. Let's you and I continue to rub their noses in the connection between Bill Clinton and his message. Let's not be only spectators. Let's continue to build the listenership of these broadcasts. Let's continue to spread our message of hope and life and a white future in opposition to the message which killed Amy Beale. Thanks for being with me again today.